We read this morning from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. This time of year, that Bible verse is a very popular one chosen by many catechism students as they prepare for their confirmation examination. It is often chosen because it paints such a comforting picture. Believers join together with the true vine, their Savior Jesus Christ, receiving eternal life from him. Perhaps this was your confirmation passage. In a similar way, the disciples were on their own way to their own sort of confirmation examination. But when Jesus first spoke these words, the disciples were about to face the greatest test of their lives. It was Maundy Thursday. Within hours, Jesus would be betrayed and arrested. And the disciples, they who had just spent 3 years learning from Jesus, they would soon scatter in fear. Their faith would be tested, and they would fail. Now, this would not be the last test the disciples would ever face in their lives, and even the test of your own confirmation day will not be the last test that you face. These tests continue throughout life. There are moments when it may become difficult to remain faithful, when you need to give that confession of faith. It may happen when co-workers mock your Christianity, when you find yourselves as a student alone in a secular university classroom, when tragedy strikes, or when suffering tempts you to doubt God's grace. In these moments, it can seem easier just to cast aside your faith entirely. So Jesus gives us this picture of the vine and the branches to teach us an important truth. Here it is. The vine dresser's shears hurt so good. For the unfruitful branch, he takes away the branch itself. For the fruitful branch, he takes away that which hinders its fruitfulness. May the Lord bless our study. So Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. The Father is the perfect gardener, and unlike human gardeners, he never makes any mistakes. He knows exactly what each branch needs. And he planted Christ into the soil of humanity as he tends his vineyard with perfect wisdom. Jesus explains that there are two kinds of branches, fruitful and fruitless. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That warning is unsettling because Jesus is speaking about branches, he says, in me. He's not talking about unbelievers who were never connected to Christ at all. He's speaking of those, rather, who once had faith, who once shared the life of the vine, but who later fell away. So how does that happen? Usually not all at once. Faith is often choked slowly. A person may still look outwardly Christian, they still sit in church, they still know the language of faith, but inwardly, their connection to Christ weakens. Love for the Word of God fades, sin becomes unrepentant, and the things of this world begin to matter more than Christ himself. However, the most terrifying part of all this is the ultimate example of this for the disciples had literally just walked out of the room minutes before. Judas Iscariot. You could say he was the elephant not in the room. Yet, to them, Judas was not an outsider. He too had walked with Jesus for 3 years, He heard the preaching. He saw the miracles. He was even sent out with the other disciples to heal the sick and cast out demons. He was intimately, genuinely, once connected to the lifeblood of Christ. But Judas allowed greed and unbelief to harden his heart. Instead of abiding in Christ, he followed his own desires. The connection to the vine died. So when Jesus says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers," he is describing exactly what had just happened to Judas. This is why Christians must never become spiritually careless. Faith is not sustained by our own strength. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. A branch cut off from the vine cannot survive. Yet Jesus does not give this warning to drive us to despair. He gives it to call us back to himself. The answer is not in our own self-confidence, but in the abiding in Christ through his word and sacraments. The same Savior who warns us also preserves us. Jesus says, "Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Then he adds, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Little Greek lesson here. The word he uses for clean is katharoi in verse 3, and it's the adjective form of the verb to prune or cleanse. Clean, prune, or cleanse, which is katharai. Sounds very familiar, similar to each other. This shows that the disciples have already undergone that pruning process. Pruning, he's saying, is cleansing. If you've ever seen grapevines after the pruning season, they do not look very beautiful. The branches are often cut back harshly, and to an untrained eye, it may seem destructive. But pruning is necessary because a vine left alone will waste its energy producing leaves and empty growth rather than fruit. So, the vine dresser prunes fruitful branches for a purpose, to produce even more fruit. What does God prune away in us? Our sinful flesh, pride, self-reliance, love for the world, fear, greed. All things that drain our hearts away from Christ. God often prunes us using his word. Scripture rebukes our sin and cuts back away all of our false assumptions. But he also prunes us through trials. Sometimes he removes the things that we put in our trust in rather than him. A financial loss may reveal that money had become your security. Illness may expose how much confidence we placed in our own strength. Failure may uncover our pride. Pruning hurts, but it is not pointless suffering. God uses these things to draw us closer to Christ and teach us to depend upon him. The disciples themselves would soon experience this painful pruning. Their pride and self-confidence would be shattered when they fled away from Jesus during his arrest. But afterward, he forgave them. Their failures drove them not to rely on themselves, but on his mercy. And that is the center of this entire text. The life of the branch comes entirely from the vine. Jesus is the vine who was cut off for us. On the cross, he endured what we deserved. Though we deserve to be cast away and burned because of our sin, Jesus took our place. He died and rose again so that we may live with him forever. That is why Jesus says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Our cleansing does not come from how much fruit we produce. It comes from Christ himself. Through faith, your sins are forgiven. You are connected to the vine, not because of your works, but because of God's grace. As Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." The fruit we bear is not what saves us, rather that fruit flows naturally from your faith. A living branch bears fruit because it is connected to the living vine. So, when God prunes you through his word or through the crosses of this life, remember this. The vine dresser never makes mistakes. His shears are guided by the perfect wisdom and love for you. The pruning may hurt, but it is for your good. That is why the vine dresser's shears hurt so good. God is not abandoning you in suffering. He is drawing you closer to Christ, teaching you to rely on the life-giving sap of the vine. And because you are connected to Jesus, there is hope, even in hardship. Christ, who died for you, now lives forever. In him, you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. So, abide in him. Remain in his word. Receive his gifts, for apart from him, you can do nothing. But in him, the Father produces fruit, abundant and beautiful. Amen. We sing hymn 342, verse 1.